systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
All right. Here on the 271st episode of the Pat and AJ Podcast, we will be covering week two of the Diddy trial.
We will not. Here
on Diddy Watch, everybody.
No, we're not.
We have to get through a cross-examination. No. We have new witnesses.
No.
New allegations.
No.
And I know we're all waiting personally for Fonzworth Bentley to take the stand.
Who's Fonzworth Bentley?
You don't remember Fonzworth Bentley.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Fonzworth, how about this? If I say this, this is...
I thought that was a made-up name.
Oh, no. It probably is. This will jog your memory. Do you remember... The world's most dapper and proper man, African-American gentleman. He would be dressed to the nines, and he always had an umbrella, usually that he was holding over Diddy's head.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, his name was Fonzworth Bentley.
Was he born with that name?
No. But he went from being an assistant to a character. He had his own reality shows. I think he got spinoffs from, like, Making the Band and... became kind of a big pop culture figure. Anyways, he has not been added to the witness list. But boy, all of us really, we know Fonzworth. He's got the dirt.
Do you ever wonder?
And he would deliver it in the most sophisticated manner.
Do you ever wonder if these rich if these rich people with names like Fonzworth Bentley?
It's not his real fucking
name. I know, but then like the guy with Ocean Gate, I was reading an article about him, and his name was Stockton Rush.
Stockton Rush.
Like, do you never see like homeless or poor people with rich people names like that? Are they just born into wealth and named like these prissy names?
Let's find out.
Stockton Rush.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a break.
I mean, the first line of the bio goes, Fonzworth Bentley, known as Derek Watkins.
Okay, there you go. That's Derek better. Watkins. That's normal.
Oh, God, he did host a show. It was called From G's to Gents.
I can't believe you know the name of the guy that held the umbrella for Diddy.
Everybody did. I worked Rhythmic Radio back then. I worked
okay, that's fair.
Hip-hop radio.
I was going to give you shit, but that's fair.
In the years when Bad Boy, because I was in hip-hop radio like 2003 to 2005, and they were, they were dominant, man. They were still dropping lots of fucking hits, and we're going to talk all about the trial today.
No, we're not.
The reason why we're not is AJ, literally last week, we got done with the podcast, and she looks at me and she goes, well, I didn't know we were going to talk the whole time about Diddy.
I just don't feel like the Diddy trial warrants an entire... podcast from us, because it's being covered everywhere,
but not by me, not with my take on
see,
it.
See, that's the thing. Pat just wanted to talk about it because he's been following it.
And do you know how many years?
That's fine. I just didn't know we were going to spend the entire podcast.
Do you know how many years of terrestrial radio shows I did with this woman, much to the chagrin of the audience, about like Casey fucking Anthony? Okay, do you know how? Do you know how many times I had to hear this one do her tot mom impression?
Tot mom!
Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. That's my Nancy Grace impression.
I mean, I was seriously, I was in it, and it was kind of interesting and morbid. We're talking about a little toddler being dead.
Yeah, but let's also be fair. Those were 4-minute breaks because we were on the radio. We didn't have a straight hour to talk about.
It was so funny.
Casey
she
Anthony.
Like turned into one of my old program directors. Like, do we really think that was worthy of that much
time? I just don't know if the average person, because like there's you who, let me finish. I'm gonna let you finish.
Mm-hmm. Beyonce did have the best video of all time. Go ahead.
You are deep into this because you were in hip-hop radio.
I was.
You're a Diddy fan. I'm a general fan
of the culture.
Yeah, and that's fine. But for to an average person like me, when you say Diddy, I can think of some songs and I'm like, okay, he's a rich, you know, rap mogul.
Really?
Yeah,
like,
I do not
he doesn't rise above.
Fuck.
He doesn't rise above.
No, he's
for
a,
you?
He's a mogul, but I don't care.
And I mean, but you're, you know, I'm,
he's a,
I'm
he seems to be a pretty big scumbag.
I'm 46 going on 47 in a week. And you are how old right now?
Do the math.
Go ahead, tell me.
42.
Trying to get you to talk. It's a podcast. Thank you.
I just think it's funny. Neither of us ever know the other person's age.
No, we're always
like a year off.
I was trying to give you a second because you were swicking your drink there. A little podcast magic, right? So if you rewind, you're in that same kind of era. And I know you weren't, you know, AJ wasn't the, how can I say, I don't know. I don't think you were in that scene. Like, you were aware of the music, but you were a Dave girl in high school and college.
Yeah, but I was also, I was 90s hip hop. I was not like, I really wasn't into like the 2000s and stuff like
but,
that. Like
but hold on. How can you say you're into 90s hip hop and then go, well, yeah, but you know, Sean Combs is just whoever. He's like literally one of the top four main figures in 90s hip hop.
I wasn't a fan.
So you weren't a fan. Hold on. So you just said right there. So you were not a fan of 90s hip hop.
No, no, no. I wasn't a huge fan of Diddy. It just wasn't like, it's not something really? That stuck out.
Okay. Well, I guess if there's listeners that feel like you, you don't give a fuck. I'm sorry. That's so defeating because it's so true. Wasn't that funny? I'm trying to find a way to like make AJ give a fuck. And she's at the end like, no. And that's so funny because, listen, they tried this with us for radio for years. They'd be like, listen, no one gives a shit about what you're talking about whenever they didn't like something that we said. And you would always think that there's someone out there that really enjoys
it. I'm sure there was
and
somebody.
And now I'm like, no, there were probably like a million AJs right there. Did you hear? She's like, no, 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 and no. So anyways.
What were some of the things our PD said to us they didn't care about that we talked about?
That's just all the time. That's anything past 30 seconds. Do people really care about that? That was the big thing.
It is really.
And I guess, truth be told, though, I mean, I don't know. Only a couple hundred people listen to this podcast versus not that we were ever like a million kind of show. But, you know, we probably had a couple thousand, 10,000 maybe at like points.
Well, it's impossible to talk about stuff every single time that every single person cares
but
about.
But anyways, that's funny. Well, that was my litmus test right there. So there you go. And I guess true, the fact that most of our time broadcast, see, you guys don't know this shit about me. You don't understand how long that for, you know, when everyone got to know the Pat and AJ show. Like, I had a whole broadcast life before that.
Yes.
And I had almost a whole, I dare say, life doing what I did. And it's so weird because I was never able to bring it up because it wasn't relevant. So I think now most of the people that listen come from either our Cars 108.
I think we got some people Central Wisconsin.
And those are country fans. Yeah.
And some people from La Crosse,
Yeah, we got some people from La Crosse, and they were top 40, but they're also such a big station. Who knew what you were into? So, yeah, it's kind of like, you're right. I probably am talking about Bad Boy, and I bet you, in general, to that audience, like, they don't give a shit.
Well, I just try
I think you're right. No, but I think if I were to then play that last 20 minutes from the last podcast to my people that listen to me in Milwaukee, Salt Lake City, South Bend, Indiana, I think we could talk about that because I was a nighttime DJ. Yeah. I was a nighttime DJ, which meant I got to play all the party records, right? Whether I was on Top 40 or like hip hop radio. And that was my, maybe that's why I'm into it. I don't know. Just
no,
my
no,
fucking
it's
thing.
Fine. Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
You're into Dead Toddlers and I'm into.
That's terrible. Take a big breath. No, all I said was that I felt like a full hour of Diddy was not necessary.
It was, you know,
Let me say my piece.
Go ahead.
Do I give a shit to talk about it for an hour straight? Absolutely not. Yeah. But
we didn't talk about it for an hour. We
talked about it the entire
podcast.
The podcast
wasn't even an hour. I mean, I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to let you
48
pump up.
48 minutes.
Listen here, fake news. This is the problem. She works for the mainstream media.
How long was the last
pumping up these numbers?
Thanks a lot. You're a big help with that whole
nice
thing.
Nice going. Thanks. Well, because you're doing it on me.
How long
you're
was
doing
the last
this on me?
Podcast?
The last podcast was 51 minutes, and we didn't get into it until after the first 20.
No, not true.
Not true?
Because I remember.
Do you want to go through? We can go through it.
No, I really don't
want
to.
No, it's fine. I like doing this stuff. This is funny. There we go. You can say Snoop Dogg, and your grandma probably goes.
So that's where we started. Go back, though. What were we talking about before that?
B12 shots, by the way. Now they give a B12 shots at. Let's see, at 14 minutes in. Well, now it won't load.
Okay. All right, fine. It wasn't a full hour. Okay, you got me. You got me. I got
I'm so petty.
You are being very petty right
it's
now.
It's almost like I use money from my dead mother to buy a billboard on a short stretch of highway in Wisconsin to spite a general manager that fired us.
Well, he was a piece of
shit. It may be that I'm just that petty.
He was a huge piece
of shit. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be that petty right there, but I just saw this such blank look on your face.
Can I please say my piece,
yes,
though?
Yes, ma'am.
As much as I don't want to talk about it at length like that, do I, if there's something that happens that's like big, yeah, I do want to hear about it. Like, and I already forgot what it was. Whatever came out yesterday, I think it was something about $100,000. Oh, the assault video.
Yeah.
That Diddy paid $100,000 to get that a video of him beating up Cassie.
Yeah.
In his possession. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel like
I get it.
The entire time.
I get it. It's all right. Listen, we're all in. That's why.
And I think it's pretty clear now, by this time in the trial, Diddy's a piece of shit. He really is. I think not what he's on trial for. He's not on trial for being a piece of shit.
We talked about that ad nauseum in the last podcast. Yeah. He's not on trial for that.
But, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say, okay, what a douchebag. Yeah. Like, let's move on and let's see how this plays out.
You know what I think happens? What? Are you ready?
Yeah.
I think he gets convicted. Trump pardons him. I think 1,000% Trump pardons him.
I will vomit.
I swear to God.
You know what?
If you had to wake up my dead grandfather out of his slumber, he's been dead since the 90s, and go, Grampy, I want to tell you something. He's going to go, what? I'm going to go, a Republican president just pardoned the leader of the Gangster Disciples, Chicago's most dangerous street gang. You know? And he would say, please put me back in the ground. You speak nonsense.
These pardons, and I don't want to get political, but I will for 2 seconds.
They're pretty crazy.
Give me a fucking break.
Who's the
Chrisleys?
Yeah, who are they?
Why are they
in jail? Like, I have no idea who they are.
You'll laugh about why I kind of, and I don't really know who they are, but I Googled them recently.
The reality show people.
Here's why I Googled them recently. Because I put up a past and present picture. It was on a subreddit called Past and Present Pics. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fun to see before and afters. And it was a picture of us at our son's preschool graduation versus us at his high school graduation. One of the comments is, I'm getting Chrisley vibes from you and me.
Okay.
And I was like, who the hell are the Chrisleys? Like, I'd heard their name, but then I Googled them and saw their appearance and was offended. I'm like, oh my God in heaven, please tell me we don't look like that.
I'm not that skinny. I saw that guy. He's very trim. He's very fit.
I was like, ew. Lots of work done.
Okay.
So I Googled their picture. They're just reality show people.
Okay.
I don't know how they got famous.
Why'd they go to jail?
Tax fraud.
Now I know why Trump pardoned him. He's like pardoned every tax cheat up.
January 6th protesters, are you joking you guys? Come on. Listen,
I want to take it one step further. And I told AJ this when we kind of pardoned Larry Hoover, who is the leader of the Gangster Disciples. It's one of the largest gangs in the city of Chicago. Although I believe now that he's pardoned from his federal time, he still has like 200 years of state time in Illinois. But again, he'll just wait till he gets a governor that'll pardon him. But you got like that kind of pardon, and then you got like these Chrisley people,
now Trump's joking about the Diddy thing.
And then he's like, Diddy, yeah, fuck it, maybe. So I say we go one step further. Let's go at like the beginning of any good Batman movie. Let's let everybody out of jail. Yeah,
just open the doors at
this
point.
Let's start over, right? All of us are like, I'm not sure who's guilty of what. I'm not sure if I believe in the law. I kind of do, but not really. So why don't we just let everybody out, right? We'll close the prisons. I'm sorry, people that work at the prisons. You're going to have to find other jobs where you oppress people. So, you know, it's like, what do we get? Let's just do a factory reset.
We'll just start over. That's a blanket statement about prison employees.
That's my statement. I'm making it.
Are you owning it?
Okay. I'm owning it. I've been in custody.
Did you hear about the one January 6th protester who handed back her pardon?
I did. Can you do that? I don't think you can do that.
I think she just did.
No.
She literally said they're using this for, you know, it's for clout for the Republican Party. Well, she goes, I broke the law. Like, I did something wrong. I broke the law, so I don't want the pardon. Good for her. It's called having a conscience.
That one shockingly made more sense to me than all the rest, and I'll tell you why, because the inside story.
Half of the rest of them are back in jail now for doing other shit. That's the funny part.
So, which is to my point about emptying all the prisons. Like, if we want to just do a factory reset, let's let everybody out. Because you know we're going to self-sort. Like, people who are fucked up, and they're just going to fuck up, and we'll, like, deal with it. But the people who really legitimately did get a bad rap and got lost in some bad shit, okay, then maybe you won't.
Now you get a second chance.
Yeah, so that's kind of my thought. I'll own that thought. Let's just factory reset it. Let's let everybody out.
I just find it hilarious that like Diddy hasn't even been convicted of anything, and Trump's like, oh, I'm thinking about it.
You know, shut up, dude. You know, God. R. Kelly is thinking. You know, R. Kelly is like, come on,
hasn't
Trump,
he
baby.
Petitioned? No, that was the Tiger King petition.
That's Joe Exotic. Joe Exotic has offered to self-deport. Joe Exotic, he has him a new husband, and this husband apparently was in the country illegally, and the husband is being sent back to Mexico. And Joe Exotic has said, okay, I understand you don't want to let me out of prison.
He tried that already, yeah.
What if I make a deal? He says, let me out of prison, and I will self-deport to Mexico with my husband, to which I'm thinking,
really a bad idea? I say go for
it. I don't think fucking Mexico's taking him.
Nobody wants to take
him. You know, I don't know who's open arm besides like Russia these days. I don't know who's open arm. Like, yeah, bring the fucking Tiger King.
I don't know.
Out.
They just took a lot of taxes out of my last paycheck, and I'm getting kind of sick of wasting my shit on these dumb pardons for reality stars.
That's one thing we all have in common. We don't like paying taxes.
No, we do not.
All right, we're not going to talk about Diddy anymore. No. Thank you, AJ, for being.
We won't talk politics.
For being my, people have all.
Let's do a factory reset.
They've all clicked out already. Goodbye. No, something that has been in the house. It's really big in the house. And, you know, if you've been on the socials, you've seen it. But our son, he graduated high school. We told you all about that. It was a serene experience. But he's headed to the University of Arizona in the fall. And
which is local, by the way. A lot of people, and I get it. If you would have asked me before I moved to Arizona, I wouldn't have known the difference either. He's not going to Arizona University because, first of all, that doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist.
There's an Arizona State University.
That's ASU, the Sun Devils.
Yes, and that is not here in Tucson.
There's NAU. There's that's a Northern Arizona
University.
There's
Grand Canyon State University up in Phoenix. But anyways, so he's going to the University of Arizona, which is in Tucson.
It is one of the oldest universities.
Literally had a family member like, oh, does he want a Arizona State University shirt? I said, absolutely
none
not.
None of that applies.
Please don't.
Go Wildcats. So our son's going there. And yeah, it is local. Like, I mean, if we were to go drive there right now, it'd be about a 30-minute drive. It's kind of a really unique situation where it's a college campus in the middle of downtown Tucson. Yeah. But you'd never guess it. And the reason why is the campus predates the city being built there.
Yeah.
It's literally
the city's built around the campus.
Yeah, like I think that kind of spawned it. So it's a really unique environment. So
it's really cool. It reminds me a lot of where I went, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And you went to like a city university too.
Yeah, I didn't do
UW-Milwaukee isn't in downtown Milwaukee, but it's close enough.
Yeah, we didn't have, we had a traditional city campus, which basically meant for my undergrad, Columbia College Chicago, shout out the home of Pat Sajak, everybody. We basically just had enough schools on a couple blocks where it became very like, that's your urban campus, right? Not like we had a quad or anything like that.
No.
So he's getting much more,
getting
out of both of us, right?
He's getting a bigger college experience than either of us did.
So yeah, it's like 30 minutes away. So again, it's not like the kid is shipping off to like Southern Florida University. No. I mean, I have some people that have kids going across time zones.
He's going about as far away for college as I did, which is, it's drivable.
Boy, that's really, I didn't
it
even think about that.
It took me 30 minutes to get from my parents' house to my college campus. And then when I moved to an apartment, it was 40 minutes.
So AJ and her sister took two different routes when it came to going to college. They both applied locally. But you, as you just said, you lived at your parents' house and you drove, you commuted, right?
Yes.
You were a commuter. That's what I did when I went to Columbia College Chicago. I did not live on their dorms.
Well, and a lot of the times, you know, those urban universities are commuter colleges.
Oh, absolutely. It's the people in the city, right? So me and you, we commuted. Now, your sister, she went to Marquette University, which out of the Milwaukee schools, it's the snobby one, right? I mean, it's the one that reminds you we're a university and you're not. I joke. Marquette is really a great institution. We used to actually...
It is the better of the two, though.
We used to go to church on its campus. Back when I was still a church-going man, we used to literally, myself and AJ, when we were dating, we would go to church.
It's
on...
It's a huge Gothic Catholic church on campus.
Yeah, you used to go to church. But so your sister went to Marquette. Now, your sister said instead of commuting and driving the half an hour, it would have been about the same, right? Half an hour.
Yeah.
She wanted to...
Hers was literally in downtown Milwaukee. Literally.
So she decided, I want to move in. So she went to the dorm.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what our kid is doing. Our child is choosing to do on-campus living.
Which we were absolutely not planning on.
Blindsided.
And I will tell you how it happened briefly. Because
I blame you. I blame totally you 100%. You should have been watching this from day one. Next thing I know.
He was in a meeting. There's a center on campus called the SALT Center. And they work with kids with, I mean, they say learning disabilities. We heard about it through somebody who is dyslexic, who went through the SALT Center and said, oh, they provide such great help for kids with all kinds of, you know, kids who need help. Yeah. A little extra help.
Neurodivergence, learning disabilities.
And we thought that was so cool. And we applied. And he had to have a meeting, like a virtual meeting with them. I could not be in the room. No parents in the room. So I left the room and just sat outside with the dog for about a half hour. And I had to run in to get something. So I tried to like just beeline past him so I didn't interrupt the call. And the first thing I heard him say is, so tell me more about living on campus.
Yeah, there you go.
And I like froze.
There you go.
And I was like, what? That was the first I'd heard of it. But I was also so proud of him for taking that jump into, wow, that could be a really great experience. I had no idea he had any interest in it.
Yeah, same here. I mean, we had, you know, finally kind of corralled him around the idea of going to college and also letting him know, by the way, that college doesn't mean that you necessarily, how can I say, we all have hopes and dreams and aspirations, and obviously your college, we would hope, would help you in that. Sometimes not always directly, but, you know, I know plenty of musicians and artists who got four-year degrees and never gave up passions, and for a while we were kind of talking about the place of university in his life, and we had finally got it around to like, hey, this is going to be a positive thing for me. I'm going to go. So I was just happy that I got him on board with the general idea of attending, and because trust me, when we moved out here when he was a freshman, oh fuck, he said those words no parents ever want to hear. No slam to anyone. I will discuss it afterwards, but at least for my child, he turned to me when he was a freshman and goes, yeah, so dad, I mean, what jobs can you get with just a high school education?
That can be a tough conversation.
And, you know,
because unless
you're saying go to work on a union job site and start as a grunt, you know, it's.
Or
it's
go to trade school or something.
But he was.
Just straight out of high school. I'm like,
I could see the gears in his head going, man, high school's hard, right? Because, you know, he was a freshman. Also, he had done the pandemic middle school experience, right? So all of a sudden he's doing high school and it's more intense. And he's thinking, hold on. I'm just starting this.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me.
4 more years after
when
this?
When I get done with this, you fuckers want me to go to something else. And I can see him fishing like, so what could I do if I just did this? And
well, I'm glad he asked.
Hey, I was legit. And I told him bluntly, I said, at this point in time, son,
In 2025.
Yeah, I said, I don't see you as the kind of person that would benefit from entering the workforce after high school.
Out of high school.
Now, by the way, that does not go to say... and I believe we talked about this on the last podcast briefly, the valedictorian for our kids' school, Smarty Pants, is not going to college when he graduates.
Yeah.
He's taking a gap year to work.
Yeah.
He literally said, I just want life experience. Yeah. I want a year of life.
So it's not to say that not going to college means you can't get a good job, but it's just
life's going to be hard in the long run these days. You got to figure out a plan.
The valedictorian, you know, it's like,
right. He could take the gap year and then just be like, pick up wherever.
I wouldn't have been able to take the gap year.
So, you know, to each their own, and we all have our strengths, and maybe some kids are like, yeah, I'm ready to turn 18 and hit the job site because I got plans to work up. Good
maybe
for you.
Maybe you got a family business. Maybe you've been doing that. What do they call it? They have a program out here, which I don't know if they have everywhere, but it was called JTED. You worked at certain places during high school, like a vet's office or the fire department.
Yeah, you got credit for it.
You got credit for it. And then the kind of hope was that you would go into that job field. Like, that's fine. But he wasn't doing any of that stuff.
He was just doing the whole, like, what can I do with just this? And I listen, so again, I was happy that he had came around all the way by his senior year to say, no, I'm going to do this college thing. It's a great university. This is the one I want to go to, blah, 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 blah. Never once in this conversation was there a talk about, man, I think I want to live on the quad, man. Yeah.
I was super excited for him when he said that. Not only because I thought, well, that's like good, again, good for you for stepping out of your comfort
it's
zone.
It's a big step, yeah.
But he is so lucky in that his education is paid for.
It is funded, yeah.
Like when I signed up for...
It's funded by many dead people. Yes. That's what I told my son. I said, you know how most people say, I see dead people, and that means they're looking at money because there's a bunch of dead people on the money? Trust me. Your education was not funded by your parents' illustrious broadcast career.
You know how many people had to die for you to go to college?
Yes, basically, it's a systematic elimination of people, and the money just funneled to you. But God bless you. I want you to not have the burdens, because that's some real shit, man.
I mean, and that was my burden when I got accepted to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, mm-hmm. is that I was paying for it by myself with loans. And once I found out how little I was getting in loans, I realized, oh, there is definitely no option for me to live on campus. They're not giving me enough money to live on campus. I have to live at home. It was not an option. So it was exciting for me that it is an option for him and that he wanted to take part in it.
Yeah, it was a 1-2 punch. I didn't see it coming. And the fact that it did made me happy. Of course, then did make me crunch some numbers, of course, as well.
Thank God for in-state tuition.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that is the truth, man. And so our son this past week, I guess this is kind of the first big college thing. He had to choose his dorm.
Yes.
Now, most of you are thinking, and again, I did not go.
No, we don't know how this process works because neither of us did it.
Right. Most of you are thinking, oh, he's going to end up in one of those, they look like jail cells. You got two bunks, which, by the way, that's an affront to people who've been in jail. That's why shout out to all the people in jail. I'm working on getting you all freed. I just pitched my idea.
But I mean, my sister's freshman dorm at Marquette.
Trust me, it's nothing
to write home about.
I know, but trust me, it's not. But
I think it was the building. If anybody knows Marquette, I think it was called the Barrel.
The Barrel, yeah, that was the circle, the circle one. Building, it's right on what street is that? Is
Wisconsin
that
Avenue.
Wisconsin Avenue? Yeah,
it was old, and that was 20 years ago.
So I mean, but we all in our mind can think of a typical college dorm, and it's tight quarters. And it's usually two bunks. And listen, this is an only child. Who existed in his own room that literally right now has a PS5 and a TV and all the comforts of whatever he wants, right? Yeah. And boy, in my mind, I thought this may be a little bit of a adjustment. But I don't want it to turn into anything that could sour.
Because there are instances where bad roommates.
I was going to say, using, unfortunately, that same example we just talked about where my lovely sister-in-law lodged. She didn't lodge there for long, folks. She ended back up at mom and pop's. She did not last. How long was she in the dorm for?
I remember moving her in because it was like a million degrees that day. And she was on like the eighth floor of the Barrel.
Of course.
And we were taking the stairs and it was awful. Right. I remember yelling at her. I think she moved out in October.
Holy shit.
And I yelled at her. I said, are you kidding? I'm like, after everything we just did to move you in there, now you're moving. I mean, I was just giving her shit. But so she.
By the way, you don't get a refund on that. No. They were super clear. They're like, listen, bro, if this doesn't work out, money up front, motherfucker.
I remember walking into her dorm room and she had one roommate and her roommate had already moved in.
That's like a pro move. Pro move is to be the first roommate.
And not even just like earlier that day, like set up.
Yeah.
She was really, really nice on the surface.
Yeah.
I didn't live with her. So
okay.
A very, very intelligent, quiet Asian chick.
Okay.
That was her roommate.
Was she like international or was
she?
No,
she was.
Okay, so she's local.
She's American.
Okay.
Very smart though. I walked in,
Marquette doesn't exactly take the dummies, right? No, I mean, Marquette.
That's why I didn't make it in.
Marquette is known for, you know, taking the smart kids, and they produce some very brilliant people.
I remember walking into her dorm and seeing this chick, and my gut feeling was, I don't think this is going to work. because listen, it's, and my sister,
listen, my sister
was just always the outlaw. Like she was smoking pot in the bathroom in high school. Yeah. She got caught smoking cigarettes behind the building. You know, she TP'd people's houses. I mean,
she is that ultimate. Yeah. Like Daria.
The rebel.
I always think of her as like Daria from the old Daria. Like, you know, she's just like, yeah, she is that.
So her walking into this dorm with that chick, I said, huh,
this ain't going to work.
I don't know. And my sister called me every day to complain about this roommate, and I'm sure that her roommate called her parents to complain about my sister.
So what was it? Was it just like their general existence? Is it one's quiet, one's loud? Why was she upset about it?
I don't remember. You'd have to ask her, like, all the details. I just remember she hated it, and she moved back in to the house in October-ish, late October.
So that was kind of, you know,
and that's part of human nature. I've told that you have to just accept we're not going to all get along with each other. That's like an impossibility, a scientific impossibility. And so when you are placed with a roommate, as much as you may have tried to, like, you know,
I mean, I do feel like everyone wants the if I can use the fabulous film about a terrible person, Rudy, the Rudy movie. Yeah, Rudy meets Jon Favreau. And they become best friends.
That's what
lifelong associates.
How many people do you say, oh, my college roommate is my maid of honor, or it's the godparent to my kids? Everybody wants that relationship.
You would love to have it. Like, we all want the sitcom moment where we flash back to the first time we all met. And
it's a 50-50 shot.
You know, it probably is. And it was in the back of my mind. So our son, after, you know, we make all the, arrangements for him now to have housing. He gets the little, you know, I said, okay, well, where do you, you know, you get to click off preferences. Yeah. Now, of course, it's only a preference. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. And of course, my son goes, oh, look, there's a bunch of singles.
Which to me was like, that's like living like a king at college.
That is kind of like living like
a
king.
I was like, are you telling me there are single dorms where you can live by? I'm like,
now,
what?
It was in big, bold lettering that it said singles are extremely limited.
Yeah.
Please do not. Only,
plan on it.
Yeah, they're like, please, if you want one, let's have a backup plan, right? But my son, when he put in all of his preferences.
Well, we did tell him, like, there is a chance. There's a chance. Will not get a single dorm. You're a freshman. Yeah. As far as seniority, you're not at the top of the totem pole.
So this kid, you know, when he filled it out, he went all singles. He goes, nope, here's all my preferences, all singles. So they tell us about this day. They say, listen, this is the time. It was like a fucking race. Yeah. You would have thought they were lining us up and
it's
had like a
concert ticket.
Oh, my goodness. It was. I felt like I was in the queue for Ticketmaster. And they tell us the day and the time that we have to log on. Don't log on more than 5 minutes prior. You'll jam up the system. So we're sitting there waiting, and boom, the time hits. It's like ticket. It's like I'm buying Oasis tickets again. And I go, bam, let's refresh it. It goes, boom, select. And I go, all right, let's look. Now, the way they have these things sorted, smart, because it's the way we all sort things in life. It's by price.
Hell yeah.
It's from lowest.
You find that cheap dorm.
To most expensive,
cheap,
right?
Cheap.
And they're all pretty wide open. There's a few in there that may be like Honors Village, so you better be a smarty pants to be there. But for the most part, you're good to go. And he starts clicking through all those low dollar ones for the singles. And they say, sold out. Sold out. Not available. Not available. Not available. Not available. And with each one, and I know AJ knows this tone from our son.
Yep.
He just keeps going, oh, no.
Yep, yep.
Oh, no.
It's very catastrophic.
Yeah, I mean, like the universe is about to unfurl. And I go, well, what are we going to do? Let's look at the next tier. Now, this is where we jump up in price a little bit. Now, it's not the top of the pops, right? This is like going from the generic brand.
What is the price difference between the first tier and the second tier? Average.
For singles?
For singles.
$2,000.
Okay.
So
that's about what I thought it was.
It jumps up $2,000 between levels 1 and 2, and it jumps $3,000 between levels 2 and 3.
Okay. That's about what I thought. Yeah.
So we went from the generic aisle, which, of course, where your man Pat likes to shop, right? Because it was all sold out, and we went to the next aisle, which is just your middle average of the road, right? You're going to be paying average regular price. And this kid clicks, boom, first building, boom, singles, available.
Unbelievable.
Like a horse. I said, you better go out and buy
a lottery
ticket today. If you were old enough gamble. We go play cards tonight.
I was sure he was not going to get a single storm.
I thought the way they described them. And I don't know, folks, maybe isn't the real sign of the recession, right?
Now, well, yeah, I mean, if his college was not paid for by dead relatives, we couldn't afford to pay for his dorm. I mean, that's the bottom line. He wouldn't be living in it.
Now, it's funny you bring that up because, of course, you know, it literally is like Ticketmaster. It's like, would you like to add this to your cart?
Yeah.
And I go, well, yeah, we add it and... You know, the little timer goes, you got to complete this shit in fucking 10 minutes.
Oh, that stuff makes me so nervous.
And we're like, all right, we complete it. And then it's like, all right, bitch, you're good. See you later.
Unreal. He called me. I was wrapping up a teaching a dance class. And he called me and he goes, well.
You want to hear how I did it?
The only options were 4-person dorms.
I said, listen, the singles are all sold out. The doubles are sold out. I said, all they can do. Are quads. It's 4 of them in a room.
And it's intergender.
It's intergender.
I'm like, wait a minute.
And I said, in fact, it's all gender and gender nonconforming.
And I swear to you, I bought it right up until this point. I said, oh my God, I knew it.
Up to and including unicorns.
And that's where I said, oh, you're joshing me.
You may have to cuddle with someone, but it's a great rate. No, and then I let the cat loose. I said, no, this son of a gun got himself a singles dorm.
I could hear him cheering in the background. It was so funny.
And I will say, as a father who's never, I guess, I've never had that ability to do something like, I don't know, there's someone out there listening that's bought their kid like a car, and I'm sure you've been able to see their face really light up. And
neither of us ever had that.
We've never been able to do something like that for our kid. But this was the closest to it, because seeing him like literally kind of elate and like, oh my God, I'm going to have a single dorm. And then like we started going through. All right. So here's where it is. We look where it is. He's on the first floor. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but I was like,
for the heat, probably.
I feel like for the heat, right? You guys on the bottom, but I'm like, here's what it costs. Here's what it includes. And I literally went down. I felt like fucking Mufasa talking to the stars with Simba about all the dead relatives. But I start giving him kind of the speech where I go, bro, I know I talk shit and I tell you, oh, you know, this is me and your mother paying you. I go, listen, we inherited this money. I said, grandma died. My mom died. She happened to have no other children except me. And I said, guess what? It's not like she really went out there and earned it in mass like that, because she was a Chicago public school teacher.
Yeah, it was your grandparents.
It was actually my grandparents who were part of a generation that offered them opportunities, both economic and career-wise, which allowed them to really amass a lot of dough, which by happenstance of people dying has ended up in a 529 account.
Well, give yourself a little credit, though, because that money was left to us.
It was.
We could have blown it on a boat and an RV if we wanted to.
I know, but I saved it for my kid's college.
Instead, we said, let's put it away for his college and an education
fund. My therapist gave me prompts for that, because I had therapy today. You know, therapists go to therapy. And I was like, oh, therapist, man. I said, I'm so sad about my son moving out. I said,
You guys should have seen him for the last, like, few months since this whole thing started. It kind of started in, like, I don't know what it was. I forgot when that first meeting was. But it started when he was talking about moving into a dorm. And Pat's been very, like, defensive. He's been very like, well, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if he can do this. I don't know if this is a good situation for him. He's been really shitty about it. And, of course, you know, I'm just like, well, let it play out. Give him a chance. This might be the best experience of his life. Finally, yesterday, when our son actually locked in this dorm, Pat broke down.
I did.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That was the whole, that's why you
broke down crying.
You were hoping.
Like a baby.
You were hoping. Because I always said to him, I'm like, Pat, so if he doesn't live in the dorm, how the hell is that going to work? Like, we got to drive him to and from class.
I said,
like,
we'll make it work.
And I realized he wanted him to stay home, and he lost it when he finally locked in the dorm. And that's why you've been so shitty about it.
I didn't lose it.
Let me psychoanalyze you for a minute. No. Because these months of this like attitude finally came to a head yesterday. And I said, whoa, light bulb.
I was talking to my
very sweet.
I was talking to my therapist about it today. And I said, yeah, I'm like, I've kind of been a bitch, you know? And I'm like, but I don't know why. And I'm like, for a while, I thought it was because, oh, I'm starting my private practice. I'm not earning a lot of dough.
No, you're a father. Whose son wants to move out.
And then I'm like, oh, maybe it's because of X. Like, and I was trying to figure it out. And then yesterday, literally, and I even told my son when we officially did it, and he goes, all right, bitch, you're done. Like I looked at him and I kind of like gave him a guy punch to the arm. And I go, oh man, you're really fucking leaving me. Well, I go, man, and you know, of course, my therapist today looks at me and goes, well, you know, he's leaving you locally.
He's in town. He's in the same city.
And you know, it all of a sudden, like they say, one day you wake up and your parents spill out of your mouth. This is a true story. My mom, as bat fuck nuts as she was, she's the one who sent me to college, my undergrad for radio, right? Like she applied, she picked my radio major, and then lo and behold, I was good at it, which meant I moved all around the country. And my mother would call me up wherever I lived, if it was Salt Lake City, Milwaukee, South Bend, Champaign, Urbana, Seattle. And she would always routinely work into the conversation. If I would have known that this career was going to take you away from me, I wouldn't have sent you to that college. Which was great when you're like, you know, doing good at something and then, you know, like your mom's pissed. But now I kind of understand, well, like what she really meant to say was obviously I miss you.
She misses you.
The way a normal person would say, you know, neurotypical, they would say, I miss you. And, I wish I could see you more. And, you know,
well,
so.
And us also because, and I always knew this was going to happen. Like I was really, our son and I were really, really close. Kind of until he hit, I don't know, I would say what, like 15? Like as soon as he started hitting the real boy teenage years.
Got like hair on his balls.
Yeah. You and him, we flipped the script. You and him really bonded, which I knew was going to happen. I'm like,
are really good because you're like kind of a toddler yourself. So you're good with like little kids and you were just good at like you enjoyed. She was never a parent with that young stuff who faked it. Like, you know how there's parents that show up at the pumpkin patch and they're like, Jesus Christ, like I'd rather be anywhere but here.
I love that shit.
Like, exactly. Like her, like she's a little kid. So
I can't relate to a teenage boy in any way, shape or form. So.
Although, do you want to know what's funny though? It is weird now that me and my son are at that age where we, you know, we women, it's funny to see him now. Like he's kind of weird with me when if I talk about women in front of him, like if I think someone's hot or something, he gets like it's very close to like, bro, you're fucking married to my mom. Like it's like he's very close to being like, dude, man, come on, man.
Which is
on,
funny, bro. Because I can call it when Pat's looking at other chicks. I'm like, oh, she's your type.
AJ's great at it. AJ knows every piece of meat that I will look at, but.
No, that whole situation, and like you said, everything comes full circle. It reminded me of, I was 24, I think I was 24, maybe 25, and Dylan, I had him when I was 24, so he was a baby, and I was moving away for my first radio job, and again, away, I was moving 2 hours from Milwaukee, 2 hours north.
I mean, out the neighborhood.
But enough not to commute every day. Yeah. You know, I was getting my own apartment, and I remember I was at dinner at my grandparents' house, and Dylan was next to me, a little high chair and stuff. My dad came in, and he had just come from work, so he's all flustered in his suit, and he came in just like, you know, wailing about me moving. You're not going to be able to afford to live up there on that salary. And my grandmother, who is not the type of person to do this.
Not the soft, cuddly one in the family.
No, she stopped the conversation. She goes, Bob, just let her do it. She'll be fine. And like, it was the weirdest. I had nothing to say. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
But that was your father's way of saying, I'm going to miss you. Yeah.
And I think
my grandchild with you.
And I'm my grandma in this situation. Like, I'm just super happy for our son. I think it'll be good for him. I'll absolutely miss him too, but I'm just really excited for him.
I am too, and I'm sure, well, listen, I mean,
These are normal parental emotions, all of them.
I had one of two fantasies in my mind, and one of them's already not going to happen, so I can tell you about it, because I even told it to my son. I said, son, I go, let me tell you, I had a little bit of a fantasy. My fantasy was going to go like this. Of course, you wouldn't get a singles dorm, so you get forced to get a roommate.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going with this. It's just like Rudy. That roommate ends up being LeBron James' son.
Who is also going to be,
we all know, is entering as a freshman, same age as my son. And I said, because you are so fucking different from anyone in that dude's circle.
Yeah.
You two would click. Yeah. And then he would take you with when he leaves in like 2 years, because he's only doing like 2 years. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to go to the NBA. And like, you need the entourage. My kid is, if you need every star, high powered, swaggy black man needs someone like my kid in his clique.
Oh my God.
Because everyone else is like going to be a stupid yes man to that kid, right? And then you're going to have my son. My son would tell him, yo, that's stupid. That's stupid as hell.
He'd keep him on the regular.
And he would also like, you know, if like LeBron's kid wanted to be like, yo, hey, D, you got to tell that dude he has to go. My kid would be like, yeah, hey, no problem. Hey, man, rule says you have to go. And like my kid's like 6'3", and he'll be like, fuck, I guess I have to go.
When you said you had a
family. And then he's making like seven figures just by being in the entourage living in L.A.
When you
said, it's all because he got a double dorm. LeBron James' son.
When you said you had a fantasy about our son's dorm experience, I thought it would be he hates his roommate and comes back and lives home. I did not think your fantasy would be he rooms with LeBron James' kid and becomes his best friend.
We're
and then
going to Malibu, baby.
He's part of his entourage for life.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.